You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today, the Reverend Matt Thompson from Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Bismarck, North Dakota. Good morning, Pastor Thompson.
Good morning.
Great to have you as our guest this morning, and looking forward to studying God's Word with you. Tell us about Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Holy Cross is a mission congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We organized in 2010, so we've been a congregation for about 5 years on the north side of the city, and it's been interesting developing a congregation and growing together in faith.
Well, thanks be to God for this new mission, relatively new mission in Bismarck, North Dakota. Tell us a little bit about the community there where Holy Cross is growing in Bismarck.
Bismarck's the capital of North Dakota. Mm-hmm. So it's had a lot of changes up here with the oil boom, which came about 7 years ago and is kind of, with the oil prices going down, the oil is... drilling is slowing in western North Dakota, but the capital continues to grow. A lot of people have moved to North Dakota from Texas and other places in the south. So it's been interesting. A lot of new people in town.
Well, so glad that that you and the other saints are there at Holy Cross to share the good news of Jesus in that community and to gather around the gifts of God. And today we are studying Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this text?
Well, Jesus is teaching here in Matthew 25 his disciples what to expect in the end times. And it's appropriate that we would read it during this time in the church year. Mm-hmm. We're coming to the end of the church year, and the readings all turn our focus towards the future, the end things, death, judgment, heaven and hell, the resurrection from the dead. And this text deals with the judgment itself. Jesus is predicting his own return and the final judgment of God on humanity, the separation of the sheep and the goats, which we'll get into.
All right, very good. Let's take a look. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 46 is what we're studying today. And looking forward to digging into this. Let's take a look. Verse 31 is where we're starting today. If you have a question or a comment, listeners, you can give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. All right, let's take a look. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. All right. So when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Tell us about that day, Pastor.
Well, Jesus is referencing and referring to the end time return of Christ in glory. So this is a depiction of the very, very end times when Christ will return from heaven with all the saints and all the angels the dead will be raised bodily from their grave. So this is simultaneous with the resurrection. And all humans who have ever lived from Adam and Eve all the way to the present day, that's what's referenced there with all nations. All nations will be gathered before him. And it's for judgment. You can understand that because of the presence of the throne. So the Son of Man is going to return as a king who will judge his people. And so he's sitting on the throne as king.
Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. So everyone will be, all nations will be gathered before him, and here he will separate them.
Yes. You can sense law and gospel in this verse. By his almighty power, he has authority to separate people one from another, and yet he's doing so as a shepherd. And so it recalls all of the gospel passages of Christ as the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. And so he's separating the sheep and the goats out of his love for the sheep. And so there's power in that verse, but there's grace as well.
And so he separates them. He will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left, just as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats.
Yes.
And we see this throughout Scripture. Any significance the example of sheep and goats here?
Well, he's using a metaphor. He's comparing humanity to the animals owned by a farmer or a herdsman, and Christ is depicted as the one who knows humanity, who has authority over his creatures, and who is dividing them.
Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.
Yes. Verse 34 is filled with interesting concepts. There's a lot of grace in the passage. He's depicting the sheep as those who have been blessed by God the Father, who will inherit a kingdom they've not earned or merited. They've inherited it. Inheritance is a key biblical concept, and it conveys God's grace, because an inheritance is never earned. It's received from a father. And it depicts God preparing this far ahead of time, even from the foundation of the world. So the eternal life which we look forward to is no accident. It's been planned out by God and prepared since the beginning. And God has been working out his plan of salvation over time, and this is the culmination and the final working out of his grace.
I was hungry, and you gave me food. Thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? When did all these things happen? When did we serve you in this way? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.
What's beautiful about that passage is the fact that Christ, who has ascended into heaven so long ago and is only now returning from heaven, and so it appears as if he's been distant and gone and so far from us, Christ, who ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father, he has been present in the world, and his people have been visiting him, feeding him, clothing him, and caring for him. And so the question of the sheep is realistic, because he's been gone. So they say, how can this be possible? You know, how can we have fed you if you've been so far away, we never recognized you? And then in verse 40, he says, as you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. The difficulty in the translation or in the interpretation here is the identification of the brothers in verse 40. Brothers has been identified in history primarily as all of humanity. But Dr. Gibbs, in his work on this passage in the end of Matthew, Dr. Gibbs at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, he interprets the passage in the sense that the brothers referred to here are specifically the apostles, the disciples of Christ. And so if that's the case, then every time a believer responds positively to the apostles or disciples who bring the gospel, the reference is to that. So there's a sense in which the judgment, though it's appears to be based on works, is really based on faith. Those who receive the apostles and their message, and then clothe and feed and provide for those who bring the gospel, you know, respond well to the presentation of the gospel through faith, those are the sheep who are on the right hand.
Anything else up through verse 40, Pastor, that you'd like for us to know today?
No, we can move on.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back from that break, we'll take a look at the last section, verses 41 through 46. If you have a question or a comment today, you can give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. We are studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Thompson from Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Bismarck, North Dakota. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Azil, the LCMS Director of Campus Ministry and the Chancellor of LCMSU, inviting you to join us right here on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. in the Student Union. If you can't make it, Student Union is always available as a podcast at kfuo.org. Learn more about LCMSU at lcmsu.org. And remember, college is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help.
The Student Union is underwritten by Lutheran High School Association.
Hi, my name is Kara McKenzie, a senior at Lutheran High School South in St. Louis. It's hard for teens to stay firm in their faith as they go through high school. We certainly don't get much support from our culture, and it's tough for our parents and churches to do it alone. That's why I'm at a Lutheran school, preparing me to succeed in college, serve as a Christian leader, and remain rock solid in my faith. Have you checked out Lutheran schools lately? Learn more at lhssstl.org.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Matt Thompson from Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Bismarck, North Dakota. We're in Matthew chapter 25 today, verses 31 through 46. Pastor, are we ready to go on to verse 41 and following?
Sure.
All right. Here we go. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So those on the left, he says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels."
Yes, the first thing that I would note in this paragraph, which is quite frightening, is found in verse 41. The eternal fire, the damnation or separation from God, which is depicted in this paragraph, and you can sense that with the word "depart." The judgment is a separation from God in which the sinful cannot be in the presence of God. And so he directs them to depart and separate from him. This eternal fire was not prepared for humanity. You can see that in verse 41. The fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. And so the teaching that God does not want the death of anyone, or it's not his will that anyone would be unforgiven, it's his will that all people would be saved, is found right there in verse 41. The judgment, however, is based on a rejection of the gospel proclaimers. You can see that again in verse 45. "As you did not do it to one of the least of these," and he's referencing his brothers again, just like in verse 40. I like Dr. Gibbs' interpretation of this passage, because it turns the judgment back to justification by faith. Those who reject the gospel and those who bear the gospel, the apostles, his brothers, it is through unbelief that judgment comes. I don't know if that makes sense or if you've thought about that before yourself.
Say that again.
The key to interpreting this passage is the identification of who the brothers are. So the goats who are referenced here are those people on his left, are those who refused to welcome the brothers of Christ who bear the gospel. They didn't respond to the gospel with faith. They responded with unbelief, and that leads to judgment in this way.
"For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me." And they also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or strange, a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you, did not serve you?" Then you will answer, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." The least of these, that I think, is that what you're getting at? Who are the least of these?
Yes, that's the key question. And if you go back to verse 40, he's referring to the least of these, my brothers. And in the Gospel of Matthew, the brothers of Christ are identified as those who are not physically related to him, but those who do the will of his Father and who follow him. So his disciples, the question is, how have you responded to the disciples who have bared the gospel? The key question is, when the gospel is proclaimed and when teachers of the gospel bring the gospel into the world, does the world receive them and respond positively through faith, or does the world reject those who bear the gospel through unbelief and therefore fail to welcome or care for the apostles and disciples as they go out proclaiming the gospel? He's remember, this is shared by Christ with his disciples very early on in the mission. This was 2,000 years ago, and he's predicting the gospel going out into all the world through over land and sea and through time. And what he's saying is that the end time judgment will be based on how the world responds to the work of Christ and the gospel of his death and resurrection.
And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
Yes. So, again, this is referring to the end. And so it's at this point that all sin and evil will be finally judged and put away into a lake of fire, a separation from God, and then the earth will be restored and the saints will be fully sanctified and renewed and raised from the dead and will live eternally. So he's predicting a return to the original status of creation. If you go to Genesis 1 and 2, you find the earth created in goodness and man placed in the garden as a living creature with a tree of eternal life there for him to eat. And then at the very end, the depiction is of a humanity living in a new heaven and a new earth with the presence of God, just like in the garden. And humanity will be fully alive again in body and soul. So it's a comforting prediction of a future planned by God and worked out by him, in which life is restored and renewed.
Looking over the text as a whole, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn today?
Well, one key aspect or key question that people have has to do with the judgment based on works. And as I said, there's two ways to reconcile this teaching on the judgment with the truth of justification by faith. One is to note the power of the forgiveness of sin. It's not that the sheep did not sin. Their sins have been forgiven, and all the king remembers are their good works. As opposed to those who are judged, they're judged because of their sins, which have not been forgiven. And then the other way of understanding the text, again, has to deal with the response to the disciples who are going out to proclaim the gospel. Those who respond well to his brothers and receive them and care for them because they believe the message, because they've been saved by faith. The judgment is based on how you respond to the bearers of the gospel, which is to say, how have you responded to the gospel, through faith or through unbelief. So either way, the passage, which can be confused to be teaching salvation by works, isn't doing that at all. It agrees with the teaching of faith.
We've been studying the Daily New Testament Reading with Pastor Matt Thompson from Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Bismarck, North Dakota. Pastor Thompson, thanks for being our guest pastor, helping us study Matthew chapter 25 today, verses 31 through 46.
You're welcome. Thank you for including me. I appreciate being asked to do this and to be with you this morning.
Most certainly. God bless you and all the saints there at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Bismarck, North Dakota. Coming up in just a little bit, Witness Wednesday with the Reverend Mark Wood. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.